When you came to the chapel this morning, I imagine the first thing you noticed or may have noticed was the nativity scene outside near the street. A traditional declaration that in this place we are preparing for the birthday of our Savior. And then when you came inside the chapel, probably the first thing you noticed is the nativity scene inside as well, here in the sanctuary. But other than that, nothing too unusual today. Not so many people, ordinary violet color of Advent, an Advent liturgy. We know, however, and perhaps many of you have already attended a Mass earlier today, we know that today, December 16, is not simply an ordinary day in the Philippines, not in the Philippine Church. Today is the beginning of the novena. The official term in the Ordo is the novena of Aguinaldo Masses. The colloquial term in Metro Manila is Simbang Gabi Novena, right? Or maybe in the whole Tagalog region. I don't know what it's called in other parts of the country, but here pretty much everyone calls it Simbang Gabi. A beautiful tradition and a very popular one. If you went to the parish, any parish this morning, you saw hundreds, maybe even thousands of people, which is quite a striking thing because after all, it's only a Thursday morning. I mean, it's not a holiday, it's not a national holiday, it's not even a church holiday, it's just an ordinary day of Advent. In fact, if you look at it liturgically, this is, if anything, significant. It's the last day of Advent before the second part, which is starts tomorrow, the December 17 to 24 period, the period in which we focus on the infancy, and the preparations, the immediate preparations for the coming, the birth of Jesus. But it's not so striking. But if you went to the Simbang Gabi Mass this morning, aside from many, many people, it was not violet Advent color, it was white. And it was not an ordinary Advent liturgy. In fact, not even the same readings that we just heard in the Simbang Gabi readings. They had special readings for December 16, different preface, singing of the Gloria. So it would be a completely different experience. We're not offering Simbang Gabi Masses in this chapel, but I always like to honor the tradition and enter into the spirit of it, because it's a beautiful way of preparing for Christmas. In some ways, it's a kind of spiritual and cultural antidote to the materialism and the distractions that usually come up around this time of year, the busyness. So no one is busy at 4 in the morning. People are either sleeping or they're praying. Hardly anything else happens at 4 o'clock in the morning, and people are going to Mass now, 4 in the morning. We're using the ordinary readings, and again, in today's Gospel, we are given an example of Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. Now, we have seen this for most of this week, that for a Savior who has come to do the will of the Father, he speaks an awful lot about John the Baptist. Today's Gospel is one of the most striking and one of the longest sections in which Jesus speaks about John. Jesus speaks a lot about John. John certainly speaks a lot about Jesus, not necessarily by name, but by pointing toward the one who is to come. Now, one of the first things that's noticeable about this Jesus-John combination is that they don't engage in what is typical among people who become popular. They don't engage in competition with each other. You know how it is when someone rises up. If someone else also rises up in popularity, they tend to battle it out. And even the followers of Jesus and John thought that that might happen. You know that passage which we will hear in a couple of weeks in the Christmas season, where John is baptizing and Jesus and his disciples are baptizing, and they think, oh no, they're going to have a competition. Who's more popular? So that comes naturally to people and even to disciples. But between Jesus and John, no. John always gave way to Jesus, always acknowledged that he himself was only a voice and that he was preparing the way for someone much, much greater, so much greater that he couldn't even unfasten his sandal. Jesus, on the other hand, doesn't simply say, yeah, I'm greater, even though it's true. He points to the greatness of John. And today's gospel is a striking example of it. He says that among those born of women, no one is greater than John. He is a prophet and more than a prophet. In other words, here's a man you should listen to. Here's a man that comes from God. Here's a man who was spoken about in the scripture. Behold, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Jesus himself quoting the scripture that refers to John. So it's very striking how much honor he gives to John. But then he also makes the distinction. John's baptism, John's mission is not what ushers in the kingdom. It's just preparation. And that's why he says, even though John is the greatest of those born of women, if you're born of water and the Spirit, you surpass John by grace. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. That's how great the gift of grace is, the gift that Jesus comes to bring. Now, Jesus, in order to make clear how distinct John is, he asks this question, what did you go out to the desert to see? He asked it three times. What did you go out to see? And the first example or possibility is a reed swayed in the wind. Now, no one goes out to a desert to see a reed swayed in the wind. He's obviously talking symbolically. A reed swayed in the wind is a symbol of someone who changes according to popularity, popular opinion. Someone who is not fixed in the truth or in a mission from God, but is simply doing whatever make him stand out. And there are people who live like this. Even some people who are acclaimed as prophets in the cultural sense, people who are significant. Now, it's always been true that there are people like this. Certainly in democracies, that's a big issue because people can't get votes unless they are more popular than other people. So politicians are notorious for saying whatever will get them elected. It doesn't matter what they really believe or what they'll really do. They just say whatever will get their name in the headlines. But in this age of the new social media, this idea of having to be popular and doing anything to be popular is even more striking. Not just politicians, but celebrities of all kinds, sports figures, singers, movie stars, they're all trying to get the most followers on their Twitter account or get the most votes in whatever online poll is being taken. And they won't hold any position that might be too unpopular. In fact, in what's known as the cancel culture, you see this happening. People make a statement on their Twitter or some social media, and then if there's a negative reaction, they immediately back off. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anyone. You see that phenomenon all the time now. That's a reed swaying in the wind. And it could even be, and this is what's sad about it, even if someone says something harmless or innocuous or blatantly true, if there's a cancel movement against the person, he or she will back off. Oh, I'm sorry. I said the sky is blue. If it's not blue for you, well then, I'm very sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody who sees the sky in a different color. That's how absurd it has become. But that's a reed swayed in the wind. And John the Baptist was not that, because he wasn't acting in order to attract people to himself. He was doing the will of God, and he was pointing to the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He was a true prophet. The second category of, or second possibility that Jesus mentions is someone dressed in fine garments. So if you're not looking for a reed, John is no reed. He's no wimp. He's no butterfly on the winds of social media. Someone dressed in fine garments, someone who lives sumptuously and dresses luxuriously, that is not so symbolic. That's just simply a description of rich and powerful people. And Jesus says you can find people like that in royal palaces. So some people live for popularity, some people live for power or for money or for luxury. Their goal in life is to be on top of the world in according to those standards. And we all know that there are people like this who live in order to live luxuriously. That's their goal in life. You don't go out into a desert to see a person like that. You go to a posh neighborhood, you go to Hollywood, you go to where you can find the modern equivalent of royal palaces. John is not like that. John, he's a very ascetic man. In fact, one of the accusations against him is that he was crazy. He was dressed in a very rough garment, and he ate locusts. He lived in a desert, so he wasn't living luxuriously by any standard. So why listen to a guy like that? Because he is a prophet. Because he's a prophet. Because he's a mouthpiece of God. Now, we are in Advent and we are preparing the way, and we are being asked by Jesus, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What did you go into Advent to see? What did you come into the church to see? What is the purpose of the Simbanga Bi Novena? What is this all about? If you're doing it in order to be popular, sure, sit in the front pew. Or make sure that your face shows up on the live stream and everybody will know you're a holy person. If that's your purpose, you're not following the instruction of today's gospel. If your purpose is to have the most luxurious Christmas party, well, that's you're not following this gospel. The preparation that John gives is repentance. Repentance. And follow the Lamb. The way this gospel concludes, it makes this distinction quite sharp. I don't know why it's in parentheses in this gospel, in this version of the gospel, but as if this is just a added point. It's actually the point. This is the whole point of why Jesus spoke about the children in the marketplace, saying we sang you, we played you a tune and you didn't dance, and we sang a dirge and you didn't wail. He's saying, people didn't accept John, and because they didn't accept John, they didn't accept Jesus. Jesus, several times this week alone, has made this thing. If you haven't accepted John, you're not ready to accept me. Well, here it is again. This is not Jesus' words. This is Luke's words, the evangelist. He says this: all the people who listened, meaning listened to John and followed him, including the tax collectors. You could say the tax collectors and sinners, or the tax collectors and the prostitutes. It didn't matter who they were, but all those who listened, who were baptized with the baptism of John acknowledged the righteousness of God, meaning they submitted themselves to God in faith. That's the preparation. They repented. But the Pharisees and scholars of the law, who were not baptized by him, rejected the plan of God for themselves. It's quite a condemnation. If we reject the plan of God for ourselves, we can't blame God. We have refused the offer, turned down the invitation. And that's what the Pharisees and scholars of the law did, because they wouldn't accept John. They certainly would not accept Jesus, and so they were left with their own self-righteousness, not with the plan of God for their holiness. That's the warning. So we're being reminded that we are among the tax collectors. We're sinners. But the hope for sinners is not to become Pharisees. The hope for sinners is to become followers of Jesus. Today's collect, the opening prayer, is an Advent expression of sinners longing for salvation. I'll read it to you again. The opening prayer, the collect. Unworthy servants that we are, O Lord, grieved by the guilt of our deeds. We are acknowledging, we're saying to the Father, we are unworthy, we're grieved, we're guilty, we're sinners, we're tax collectors, we're prostitutes, we're sinners. We pray that you may gladden us by the saving advent, the saving coming of your only begotten Son. Why is Advent a joyful season? Because of the coming of the Savior. Not because we're good, but because the good God comes to save sinners. And that's our prayer. That's certainly the joy of the Simbangabi, that the Lord is coming, the Lord, the Emmanuel, with God with us. And the only people who can really experience that joy are the ones who do the same as those who followed John and Jesus, repented, turned away from sin, acknowledged the righteousness of God, and did not reject the plan of God for ourselves. So let us learn this important lesson, and tomorrow we begin the special second part of Advent. They focus on the preparations for the birth of John and of Jesus.